Well, is everybody surviving the time change? Yeah, it's been throwing me off all day. So I feel like we should already be through with church and everyone's feeling sleepy because, you know, their bodies are already used to all that. So we'll just try to stay awake for the next few minutes. Get something from God's Word. I don't know why they have to keep doing that. They just need to leave it on one time or the other and just quit messing with the time, with the clock. But we're still going through it because it's the law. So we're going to be in Psalm 133. I appreciate everybody coming out tonight and making the sacrifice. Being here, you could have decided to do something else or be somewhere else, but I'm thankful that you came tonight. Tonight we're going to be speaking on the subject of unity and about dwelling together in unity. Unity is achievable. We can have unity. It's not always the easiest thing. Because people are involved, and it's hard for people to get along sometimes, and we can't always have unity, but I believe that in most cases we can achieve that, especially among the people of God. Amen. If anybody ought to be able to get together and get along, it ought to be the people of God, and that's what David is speaking about here. He's speaking about the brethren, getting along together in unity. I always hate to hear it whenever Christians can't get along or anybody else, but especially Christians, we ought to be able to work our differences out and get along. Amen. But we're going to speak tonight about dwelling together in unity. Psalm 133. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this occasion. We can come together and we can look into your word. We thank you for the promises that we have in your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to learn something from your word. I pray that we would be drawn closer to you tonight because of the words that are preached, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would use the words to teach us and lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, and show us what you'd have for us to learn. We are totally inadequate and are needful of you, Heavenly Father, to teach us. We can't learn it on our own, and we acknowledge our need of you. Well, thank you for it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 133, and it's got three verses, just like last week's psalm. David is the author. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and the dew of Hermon as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." David gives a declaration of how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity in the first verse, and then in verses 2 and 3, he gives us a description of what that unity looks like. Tonight, I'd like to ask you the question, what's so good and pleasant about dwelling together in unity? What's so great about that? That's the question that we want to answer tonight. We serve a God who is one God. He's one God. Now, the Bible clearly teaches against and stands against the idea of pantheism or the idea of many gods, that there are multiple gods. Probably not even saying the right word for that. Pantheism is like God is in everything, but it teaches against this idea that there are many gods out there. It says that there is only one God. It's God Jehovah, and that's it. There is no other. It's just Him. But within our God, God is a Trinity. We are Trinitarians. We believe that God is one, but there are three persons of the Godhead. Within God dwells three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are not three gods. A lot of people accuse Trinitarians of believing in three gods, but there is one God, and there's three persons within the Godhead. And there is absolutely no schism and no disagreements within the persons of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all dwell together in unity. There is no arguments, there is no disagreements between any of the persons of the Godhead. They are one in mind, they are one in purpose, they are one in substance, and they are one in nature. They are all together, unified together. We see this unity played out clearly in Matthew chapter number 3. As Jesus Christ was being baptized, there Jesus Christ is standing in the Jordan River, and John the Baptist is going to baptize him. And as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus Christ as a dove. And out of heaven you hear the voice of God the Father, and he's saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So you have the Trinity there. You have God the Father who is blessing His Son from heaven and saying, I agree with what He is doing. You have God the Holy Spirit who is anointing Jesus Christ to do the work that He was commissioned to do by God the Father. And there you have God the Son who is Jesus Christ, and they are all together as one, unified. The Bible says that Jesus Christ always obeyed the will of His Father. He did not go off and do His own cavalier thing. He didn't do that. He obeyed what His Father said. God the Holy Spirit always carries out what God the Father wants to be done. They're always in agreement together. You don't see God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all arguing together about who's going to do this and what's going to do what and all of that. No, they're all unified together in their purpose and in their mission. We see God the Holy Spirit descending on the day of Pentecost, and He's coming down, and He's doing what? He's coming down for the redemption, to apply the redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. All of them were unified together. And so God's people also ought to be unified together. God wants us to be unified. God wants Christians to have unity together. Paul the Apostle wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4, he says, "I want you to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind and of one accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." There was some kind of strife that was going on with the church at Philippi. And Paul the Apostle says, "I want you to be unified together. You're going to have to exhibit some humility in order to get together, in order to go forward together for the purpose of the gospel. I want you to be unified." And so we see David here, and he's speaking about this unity that brethren ought to have together. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He says, "Behold, look at it." Unity is something that is observable. Unity is something that we need to set up and take a look at and say, yeah, we can have that. And this is the way that it's supposed to be. And then he gives us a description of what this unity looks like. He says that it is good. I like things that are good. We know that it's good because it comes from God. Everything that comes from God is good. Whenever God made creation, he says, it's good. He made light, and he said, it's good. He made the earth, he says, it's good. Unity, Christian unity, it's good. It's good because it comes from God. Amen. Spirit of God brings people together for a purpose, for a mission in life. And there it is good. He says it is good because it comes from God, and it is pleasant. Who here likes strife and fighting? Anybody here like to get in a fight with your wife or your husband? You looking forward to that? Got that marked down on the calendar? Man, I can't wait until I get to have a fight with my spouse. Looking forward to that. I love anger. Man, I love it. I love to be at odds with people. You know, now that I think of it, there are probably some people who are like that. They're not happy unless they are fighting with someone. So disagreeable. I don't like people like that. But it's the wrong attitude to have. It's good. Unity is a pleasant thing. Boy, when the family is together, you're eating together, or whatever you're doing together, man, that's a pleasant thing. I love to have fellowships back here where we have fellowship one with another and everyone's just eating and having fellowship. It's wonderful. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, what's so good and pleasant about unity? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. Unity is precious to the people of God. That's why it's good. Unity is, it refreshes the people of God, and unity is a blessing from God. Then I'm going to give you some hindrances to unity. Unity is precious to the people of God. He says in verse number 2, he gives this illustration. He says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. He says it's just like that precious ointment that you pour upon Aaron's head, and it went upon his head, and he gives you a very descriptive picture here. He says it went upon his head, went down the sides of his head, it went to his beard, it ran down the sides of his garment and all the way down. That's what it's like. He says it's like that precious ointment. You know, that ointment that they used to pour on that was very precious. It was a very special thing that they would pour upon Aaron, and they're anointing Aaron to be the priest of the children of Israel. He says it's precious. Now, it's made out of myrrh, sweet cinnamon, sweet calamus, cassia, and olive oil. I don't know what any of those things are, but I know that they're precious. And that's what it's made out of. So it's a precious thing. It's not only precious because of the substance that it's made out of, it's precious because of its occasion, its purpose, and what it's going to accomplish. There, they're anointing Aaron for the priesthood. You don't just anoint anybody. They don't go out and just get any regular Joe off the street and say, okay, anoint this guy. We're going to anoint him to be the priest over children of Israel. Get regular Joe there. No. No, you have to be of a certain tribe of the children of Israel. You have to be from a certain family of the children of Israel if you're going to be anointed a priest. And so it's a very precious, a very sacred, a very holy thing for them to anoint a priest. And these priests were going to be separated for the work of God in the temple for the people of God. Very, a very precious thing. He says, it's like the precious ointment. This oil had a special fragrance to it. Poured this down, went all over Aaron, went down to the sides of his garments, and it let out this fragrance within the room, and everyone could smell it. And they knew exactly what that was, because nobody else had that fragrance. This is not Stetson that you could go buy down at Walmart and everyone else had that fragrance. No, it was something that was special. They smelled that and they, oh, we know what that is. That's the oil that they anointed Aaron with. Precious. Why else was it precious? It was precious because of what it meant to the children of Israel. If you're going to anoint a priest, that means that we're going to get atonement for our sins. There's going to be some temple work going on here. There's going to be some sacrifices going on here. There's going to be salvation coming because we are anointing Aaron to be our priest. It's very, very precious to us. Christian unity is something that's rare and precious. It's not easily obtainable. Think about all the differences that we have here amongst ourselves, but yet we have unity because of the Holy Spirit and because of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he went out and he got him 12 men. They were different. One was a tax collector. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were thieves, or at least one of them was. We know about Judas Iscariot. Went out and got all of those different men. And they were all unified in a purpose to follow Jesus Christ and to go out and to preach the gospel. When God brings people together, hey, it's for a good purpose. It's for something that's going to be special, it's going to be good, and it's going to benefit a lot of people. You think about unity in the world. What do they get all excited about? They got to get unified about. You watch the Emmy Awards. They're over there nominating people and crowning people and doing all of this, all these different awards. Why? They're trying to honor a man, aren't they? They're trying to honor a woman for their acting or something like that. All of the worldly get-togethers that they have, all of the sports events. What are they doing? They're trying to honor a man. Well, that's not very precious. I mean, that's not very special, you know. But what about Christian unity? When we come together, who are we honoring? We're honoring God. We come together and we sing songs about God and we read the Word of God and we preach the Word of God. And Christian unity brings honor and glory, not to men. That's not what it ought to be about. It ought to be about bringing honor and glory to God. That's a very precious thing. Whenever you have the Emmy Awards, well, you might hear a mention of God or something like that. Well, I thank God this and that, but that's about all you hear. Maybe the same thing at a sports event. But when Christians come together, boy, it's a special thing. It's a very precious thing. And Christian unity is a precious thing. We come together and we honor Him, and it is a unique thing. Christian unity brings salvation to people. Hey, whenever Christians come together and we are unified in purpose and we are unified in mind and mission, we go out and we preach the gospel and we support missionaries and we put our money together, what happens? We send out missionaries and they go out and they preach the gospel. Good things happen whenever Christians are unified together. It's a good thing. That's what's so good and precious about Christian unity. So that brings joy to our hearts. We are united. Whenever Jesus Christ left this earth, He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I want you to be unified together in purpose and also in mission. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a precious thing. Christian unity is a precious thing. We come together so we can be stronger and we can help others. So unity is not only precious, but it refreshes the people of God. Now, look at verse number 3. It says, "As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion." Now, this is almost the same frame of thought, only he's talking about a mountain instead of a person, instead of Aaron. He says, "It's just like the dew that falls upon Hermon," which is a mountain range over there close to Israel, "and as the dew which falls upon the mountains of Zion." So there you have, I looked up pictures of this mountain range, the mountains of Hermon, snow-capped mountains. I believe that it's supposed to be the tallest mountain range around Israel's region there. Got snow all over. So the dew falls upon the north sides. And by the way, this Mount Hermon range is on the north side. It's on the north side of Israel. Way up on the north side. Now the mountains of Zion, they are on the southern sides of Israel. So here comes this dew and it falls down upon the top of Mount Hermon. It flows down and they get all kinds of snow up there, all kinds of moisture. And as David is looking at these mountains, Mount Hermon's, he looks up there and he sees, man, you know, when that dew falls on those mountains and all the snow falls on those mountains, boy, it sure does turn everything green. It looks good up there. And not only that, whenever the snow falls and all of the runoff of that, it comes down, it goes down that mountain right there, and it feeds down into the rest of the southern regions of Israel. And so he says, man, it is a luscious green grass that grows on Mount Hermon. And at the base of Mount Hermon, there's a spring there that feeds the Jordan River. That's where Jordan River is fed from, is from this spring right here, big, gigantic spring. And so the Jordan River goes down into the land of Israel and feeds all of the land of Israel there. That's where they get their sustenance. That's where they get all their water. Runoff from Mount Hermon. Now, the mountains of Zion there, they're more dry because they're in the southern regions. But you know what? They benefit from Mount Hermon. They get all of that runoff there and they get all that moisture. And so, man, it's refreshing. Boy, if that mountain wasn't there and that dew wasn't falling and the snow wasn't falling on top of that mountain, people of Israel would have a hard time. They wouldn't have anything to drink. They would not have the water. Sometimes, quite often in Portales, New Mexico, we lose water. Water ruptures and breaks, water line breaks, and you go over there and you turn on the sink, nothing. Again, the water went out again. You get on Facebook, got to check, yeah. Brother Diaz has posted something else on Facebook about the water supply. Then you start getting mad at Brother Diaz. Just kidding. No, it's not his fault. He's just doing his job. Does anybody here like that? You like going without a shower for 2 or 3 days? Going and looking around for water? Better go down to Pastor Fox's house and get some water? No, nobody likes that. Why? You know what you start feeling like? You start feeling all dry and crusty and you just, I need a shower, man. This is ridiculous. I want something to drink. I want to be refreshed. I need some water. Did you know that Christian unity refreshes people? Refreshes people. That's why we need to come to church. That's why we need to come together, sing songs together, hear the preaching of the Word of God. But hey, man, that's refreshing. That's refreshing. Without Christian unity, and by the way, if there's a bunch of fighting and bickering and division going on within the church, that's not refreshing. That's terrible. We don't have any of that stuff here. But it happens. And that's not refreshing. What do people need? Man, they need some friendliness. They need some happiness. They need some joy. And that's what we're ought to have as Christian. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Happiness. Because that's refreshing. And you get together and you have joy together over the Lord Jesus Christ, singing the songs and just getting together. Man, that's refreshing. Harmony and unity together. You know what that promotes? Promotes growth. Promotes life. We're able to get together and we grow together as a body, as a local body. But when there's not unity together within a body, I don't care if it's your family or what kind, even in your job. You got a job and you got several employees working there together and there's not unity together. You know what that's like? That's like a dry tumbleweed rolling across the plain with no rain whatsoever. It's not refreshing. You know what this is in danger of? In danger of drying up and withering away. But Christian unity, boy, that is refreshing. And it gives growth. And it helps us. But what happens when unity cannot be achieved in a family or a church or a country and there's constant division? They're not going to thrive and they're not going to grow. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he says, I've been hearing some things about you and it's not good. There's divisions among you. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm of Paul and I am of Apollos and I am of Christ and all of this. And, you know, there's a bunch of divisions going on. And he said, you guys are like a bunch of little babies and you need to grow up and be unified together and quit fighting amongst each other because that's what little children do. Man, we ought not act like little children when we are adults. And that's what he was telling them there. So we must have unity. Jesus Christ was speaking to the disciples, to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter number 20, or excuse me, Matthew chapter number 12. And he said, a country divided against itself cannot stand. It's not going to stand. You've got to have unity. Hey, unity is refreshing. That's what's so good and pleasant about unity among God's people. So unity gives life. Thirdly, we notice that unity is a blessing from God. It says in verse number 3, it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Did you notice that? Did you notice that unity comes from the Lord? Just as God commanded the children of Israel to anoint Aaron for the priesthood, and just as God commanded the dew to fall upon Mount Hermon, so is unity among the brethren. It comes from the Lord. It's a blessing from the Lord. So if we have any kind of unity in this church, or any kind of unity in Christianity, it's because of the Lord. It's a blessing from the Lord. It's not because we're big shots and we just made it work and we had the right, you know, the right system, you know, in our little group here. No, it's something that's organic. It's something that's supernatural that God has given to us right here. Why in the world else would we all be here together tonight on November the 3rd of 2019 with all of our differences? Why would we be here? Because of God. God commanded it. And did you notice that it flows from the top to the bottom? When they anointed Aaron's head, it flowed from up here and it went down to here, and then the fragrance filled the room. When the dew flowed from the sides of the mountains, it started at the top and it went all the way down the sides to the bottom. Amen. Unity flows from the top to the bottom. Amen. Unity flows from God to us. Right. And that's where the blessing comes from. Whenever God decided that He was going to bless the world with Christianity, started with one man, Abraham. And it flowed from him down to the rest of the world, went out to the nations. Yeah. And everything that we see here today of Christianity is because God started it in Genesis chapter number 12. Amen. Unity is a blessing from God, and He's given it to us, and it flows from the top to the bottom. It starts out real little, little bitty trickle, then it spreads out and it goes out everywhere. You know, our lives today ought to be just like that. They ought to start at the top and then go out to everyone around us. That fragrance ought to go out to everyone around us. They should say, man, it sure was a joy. It sure was glad to be around. It sure was nice to be around those people. A lot of unity there, a lot of joy there. So unity is a blessing from the Lord. God's given us this unity. All the blessings of God flow from His hand. Those are good and pleasant things about unity. Well, there's a catch, though. There always is. Because unity involves people. And we're not perfect, are we? No. We're sinful beings. It's not always going to be perfect unity, so there's some hindrances to unity. What could stop unity in a family, in a church, in your lives? What could stop that unity? What are some hindrances? Well, holding a grudge is going to stop unity. Unforgiveness will stop unity. Are you one that likes to hold a grudge? Someone does something against you and you're like, okay, that's it. You want to hold a grudge against that person? No forgiveness here. I'm not forgiving that person. Or do you just give them the silent treatment? All right, I'm going to talk to that person ever again. They are dead to me, and I'm going to treat them as dead. And that's the way that they are. I may not be able to punch their lights out, may not be able to slash their tires, but they're getting the silent treatment from me. That doesn't promote unity. Unforgiving spirit. The Bible says that an unforgiving spirit is a device of the devil that he uses to divide the people of God. Unforgiveness. What else will hinder unity? Dishonesty will hinder unity. Dishonesty destroys unity because it undermines the foundation of relationships and what they're built on. All of relationships are built on dishonesty, and if you decide that you're going to lie to people that you are in a relationship with, you are not going to have unity, because once they find out that you're a liar, you're not going to be friends with them anymore. It's all crumbled right there. How are you going to be able to trust your wife, or how are you going to be able to trust your husband if they are not honest with you? Because that's what those relationships are built on. Paul the Apostle said, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why with his neighbor? Because I want to get along with my neighbor. I want to have unity with my neighbor. And if I'm continually lying, we're not going to have unity. That's a hindrance to unity. What else? Pride. Pride is another enemy of unity. Why? Because you're not willing to communicate with somebody else. You have an air of superiority about you, and you're saying, man, I am way too good to be around this person, and I don't have to listen to their point of view, and I am way better than that person, and you're way beneath me. I don't have to listen to that. Pride. Pride will stop unity. Generally, every one of us could be guilty of these things, and it can stop the unity that we have, that the Lord has given to us. We just trashed it. We just trashed it because we wanted to act a certain way, or we wanted to be a certain way. We had too much pride in our hearts to be able to talk to the other person and stop the unity that we had. What must we do about that? Well, we need to promote unity. Hey, if you got a problem with unforgiveness, you better start learning how to be forgiving. You got a problem with dishonesty? You better deal with that. You got a problem with pride? Hey, be clothed with humility. We must promote unity. Avoid unnecessary division. Well, sometimes we might have to disagree with people and just part company because they're not going to be a good influence on us. But many times we divide over silly things. Things that you fight over, things that are not even worth fighting about. And there's division there. We need to avoid that. Avoid that. And then we have to unify under the truth. We can't just throw away all of our differences or all of our convictions and say, well, for the sake of unity, I'm not going to believe that anymore so I can get along with you. We can't do that. No, we have to unify under the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. We must unify under the truth. So we must have unity one with another. I'd like to read you a verse of Scripture from Ephesians chapter number 4 about unity. Paul the Apostle says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You've been called to a vocation. Now I want you to walk worthy of that vocation. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, I want you to endeavor to keep that unity that you have. He says, because your God is one. There is one Spirit. There is one faith. There is one baptism. And your relationships with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ should reflect the one faith that you have and the one God that you worship. And there shouldn't be any division. If we have a problem with being divided and not having unity, we need to look to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ will put us in our place where we need to be. That's the importance of the gospel. You have a problem with not being able to forgive someone? Look to the gospel and look at how much you have been forgiven through Christ. And you can look and say, hey, I can forgive that person because Jesus Christ has forgiven me. We cannot think too highly of ourselves while we look at the cross and we see what God has done for us and the sinfulness that we are involved in. We can't think too highly of ourselves. We can't be puffed up and proud about how good or how great that we are. Hey, Jesus Christ had to die for me, and He had to die for you as well to pay for your sins. So we must look to the cross and look to the gospel. The gospel tells me that I am and hope, all that I am and hope to become is because of Jesus Christ. I can't be lifted up with pride because everything that's good about me, it's through Jesus Christ. So if we have that mindset of pride about us, that mindset of division about us, the Bible says that we ought to cast down those imaginations and those thoughts and bring them to the obedience of Christ. That will bring unity in Christianity and in our relationships as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.